approval of the agenda.
Make a motion to approve the agenda.
Steve makes a motion. Do I hear a second?
Yes.
Let's try to second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Carry. Approval of the minutes. For those who got your packet on time,
there was just one thing that I noticed that said Larry Wolf made some about transportation. And I don't think you were here at the last time, were you?
Yeah, I was here last time.
Well, you were
didn't have a meeting in January.
Okay, well, I...
Well, it says you were excused in January.
Yeah, your name was on.
Where did I put it?
Did you have a meeting in January?
Yeah.
I was wondering when you said
you
it.
You didn't in December.
Okay, you told me you didn't have a meeting.
I think December.
No.
All right, December I was there.
December. You and I, Larry.
There but this was January.
Where does it say
we were both going.
If you had a meeting in January, I was not here.
Okay, I know that.
Do you know where it says it at?
Did you?
Yeah, I do.
I'll make the motion to approve the minutes as written. And all in favor. Yeah. I'm so used to saying all in favor. Sorry.
I don't know who made that.
Whoops.
Here
we go.
Is that on that page? No. This page? No, I just saw it a minute ago when I found Larry wasn't here.
Oh, I was going to pass it down.
So oh, no, that's for you. I don't see it, but I'm scanning.
Which one did I get the wrong one? Well, I didn't think they got it.
I haven't found my name on there yet.
I haven't either, but...
You take a hint.
Gary, be nice.
Thank you, Janie. Bell?
Oh, where was it? Was it on the other
That's
one?
What my mom always said when I was a kid. You have fun, never, but don't be loud mousy.
I don't see any where there's a motion. There's nothing there. Was it a motion?
No, it was a suggestion from the transportation department.
I don't see it either.
Okay, I have a motion from Steve to accept the minutes as written.
I'm sorry.
Jan, seconds? All those in favor say aye.
Thank you.
Public comment. No public comment. Okay, very good. We'll go right to advocacy reports. The ADRC Regional Board. That is Larry, Shirley, and myself. Surely, any comments?
Yeah, I got some comments. I hope we're right this time. Were we there? I got a whole bunch of good ones. Well, Whitney Thompson. Is our dementia care specialist, and she gave a very good talk on how we should be educating our younger and all those that are involved with dementia care. She gave an overview of how we can have a friendly community, public awareness in shaping our community view of the cares of dementia to enable these people to live independently as possible and be a part of the community. And I think if we know more about dementia, we can accept their problems and cares to give access to resource people in the banks and the post office and shops, and make these folks feel that they belong. And one thing that she handed out, and I thought it was very good for all cases, not only dementia, but our special ed department and people that are handicapped, to use these talk tactics, to talk to them slow, ask simple questions, limit the reality checks, and keep eye contact. And I found this very true because we have a handicapped child, And these things are very important in that case, not only along the dementia line, but carries over in handicappedness and our slower learning individuals. It was just an excellent, she's doing an excellent job, and she, I see her picture and her articles in the paper of things that she's doing in the area, Whitney Thompson. And she is going to, at our next meeting on next Thursday, she's going to give a movie on Alive Inside. It's an hour and a half movie. And I'm sure we're going to pick up a lot of tips on how we can help these dementia care people. Because I've noticed some in the community right now, you know, they're with you for a while, and then they're out. And some days are good days for them, and other days are just, they're just completely out of it. And the more aware we are of these happenings, the better we can make life for them and make them feel a part of the community. And others in the community, how to help them with things that we don't even realize about. That's what I got. Out of it.
I know that the auxiliary up at from La Crosse has got little cards that if you take them out to eat and they start doing some bizarre things, it's a little card that you can just pass to the table next to you, and it explains that they have Alzheimer's and they're having some difficulties. And instead of everybody sitting there and glaring at them, you know, it kind of breaks that ice a little bit. But I think we're coming up with more and more things as we're getting more and more people.
Yeah. Here was a decal that there that's being used to show that
the purple angel
shows they're dementia friendly.
Mm-hmm. And you know that would be a way of, but people have to become aware of this. I mean, we know it. We've got to get this out, circulated out, and I think Whitney is doing an excellent job in her role. Mm-hmm. She really is.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anything else, I think?
Oh, they can probably add. You were there, too. You
well, I got the dementia.
Larry wasn't there.
No.
And you did have a meeting.
We did have a meeting. And Larry wasn't there.
Now they tell me I got it, too.
I just know that even some places, I think Richland Center has got a cafe.
Memory cafe.
A memory cafe that, so that the people can come out and feel comfortable amongst them. And I believe Orchard Manor has taken their locked ward. Anybody tell me on that? Who's on the, anybody here on that Orchard Manor board?
Yeah.
Haven't they taken their locked ward now and made it into a memory kind of unit?
Yes. Working on it.
But I just heard really good things about it. I mean, when they get really agitated before the summer, and they play soft music and do a lot of
things. Yeah, and it really seems to help. Music really makes a difference.
Well, I can tell my mother was an Alzheimer's person, and we only had to have her at Orchard Manor for about 13 months. And she was a college prep English teacher in high school. And toward the end, when it was very difficult to communicate with her, I got some tapes from the traveling library of Shakespeare, Macbeth, Julius Caesar, some of those that she taught for years, and we would put them on with earphones. It would just calm her right down, and she would mouth out the words, because that was something she really remembered and did, and so those types of things help. So, bring that back to them and calm them down so they're not so agitated.
That's great. That segs right into the Alzheimer and Dementia Alliance workshop.
That's right. That is what? At Southwest Tech on March 12th, right? And there is a cost to that, right?
There is, and I do know offhand what it is. It's pretty minimal, like maybe 20. And you can check with Mariah because she is taking registrations at our
They
front desk.
Always have excellent speakers and fill up. So
the brochure is out at our front desk.
Okay, so if anybody has any interest in that meeting, it would be it's a good one and it's close here.
Yes.
All right, the state budget, WAAN Senior Care Memo. Is this the one I called about?
I have been in budget hell from local to state to federal. Yes, this is the one that you did on, but we've had a couple, so I'm lumping all of this into state budget. I think I can. The first one was the senior care, because of course that got a lot of notice.
I have written the guy that took over Schultz's place.
I will pass around the Aging Network's memo that they sent out on senior care, so that you are aware. And a lot of this stuff is still being dissected, as you all know. And I know Bob's attending meetings right and left, and I was trying to even pick his brain to see if he'd heard some things too. But the senior care, basically, in terms of this one, is they would want senior care people enrolling in Part D first, which would significantly cost some of our low-income seniors a lot more money. So you can read through this.
Can you refresh me on senior care's pay like $30 a year?
Right.
And then when they get their medications, it's how is that determined?
It's
what they pay.
It requires a $30 annual fee if you go to two, and then like a $5 to $15 co-payment for each prescription. So for people that don't have a lot of drugs, that's a good deal for them.
But if you sign up for Medicare D, you're finding that that $30 annual fee could be a monthly?
It could increase significantly. If you look in the first one, it could increase their total out-of-pocket cost by an average of $732 a year. So
versus 30.
Bit, yeah.
You're saying that they have to have both?
The proposal is that they would have to enroll in D first.
And only 18.6% comes from the Wisconsin budget, and that's the rationale to eliminate it? It looks like Wisconsin's not paying that much of it.
Yeah, I don't know the rationale for doing it.
Perhaps there is none.
Yeah.
It's a dartboard.
As with all of these proposals, I don't know the rationale behind any of it, so
yeah,
for the most part.
I was on the phone for half an hour yesterday trying to find out what the savings are for some of these things. Nobody's got any idea what the savings are.
No.
It's just an idea.
Yeah.
Well, they aren't saving much if they're going to take senior
and
care
this
in Part D.
The people that are paying $30 a year, they don't have much money to begin
right.
with.
Right.
And they have to have Part D also? Or not all
no.
of them?
This would require them to enroll in Part D first. Okay, they would need to be enrolled in Part D. So, I mean, and like... As I said, this is just in the proposal for right now.
Why would you enroll in Part D if you're going to have senior care? Or why would you enroll in senior care if you have to have Part D?
Yeah, I know only what I know here.
Okay.
I don't know more than that.
If you take your prescription in, who's going to pay? They both won't pay.
No. Part D is going to pay. That's why I say I don't understand why you
enroll
in senior
don't
care.
Pay for anyway.
No, but you get a discount and they pay part of it. Part D pays about half of your prescription costs.
It depends on what Part D plan
yeah.
you're in.
But most of them average about half.
This was proposed a few years ago and it was rejected. So, I mean, that's the good news. I think there was a big issue with it. Lots of people got on board, ARP got on board, and I think they're on board with this again. And it was rejected, and I think it says down here on the bottom, Joint Committee on Finance rejected a similar proposal in 2011. So again, I think, you know,
yeah.
I think the message here is, you know, if you're so inclined to contact your legislators and use these as talking points. This is coming right out of the Wisconsin Aging Advocacy Network, which Janet Zander does a lot of work. She is a consultant for GWAR. And she's the one who formulated this. So she's the one with her ears and eyes
on
everything.
So we don't need to do anything as a board?
Right now, I think we don't know whether... I don't know whether we should do anything as a board yet. I think that will be coming. But I would certainly urge you to do something individually as contacting legislators too. Janet, I have had a couple emails with Janet, but obviously the budget had just come out, so there. I mean, it's 1,800 pages. They're still pouring through it. So this was the memo that she got out as quickly as she could.
It said, you know, here it says the average cost of Part D is $61 a month. Well, I know some that are a whole lot more than that.
Yes, and depending, I think, on on your prescription.
I would think at some point in time they're going to ask some help, because at the bottom here it says, we urge you to continue your strong bipartisan support of Wisconsin successful popular
right, program. And I will send
some
you,
point they probably want
I will send you in between here and in March, if anything else comes out from Janet, I will send that to you as well.
Okay.
Like I said, they were really rushing to kind of get something out just initially on this, but there's a lot. And then I have one more from her as well, because even we had an ADRC state call the day after the budget was released, and there was very little said about ADRCs on this state call in terms of the state budget, other than that it was somewhat proposed to make some contract changes that would increase cost effectiveness and improve service delivery or something to that effect. Very kind of benign, very much. And I'd seen the budget summary, and it was fairly benign in there. However, if you skip down to Aging and Disability Resource Centers on this one, the proposal actually, further down in, allows DHS to contract with a resource center or a private entity for some or all of the services, creating the potential to fragment the services of these one-stop shops. Further, the bill eliminates ADRC governing boards and long-term advisory committees, which currently provides citizens and local officials direct involvement in local ADRC oversight and planning. Now, we are both Aging and ADRC, so Aging requires a board. The feds require it. It's in the legislation. So when that came out, a few more directors started paying a little more attention, because we didn't hear that from the state, and obviously had some concerns on that. I did a little bit of searching then, trying to find something that would give me a little bit more information on it. Didn't find a whole lot, but found a newsletter called Care Connection, which is the Wisconsin Healthcare Association and the Wisconsin Center for Assisted Living, and they're the ones that have had the most information on this. And what they're saying is a reconfiguration of ADRCs. The budget envisions rebidding and restructuring of Wisconsin's ADRCs. It promotes creation of a new model of regional ADRCs and eliminates county's current right of first refusal to operate the new models. It would permit potential privatization of many of the services currently provided through county-operated ADRCs and anticipates bidding out the administration of the family care functional screen, which is what we do, via a statewide contract. The budget provides funding in the second year of the biennium to support dementia care specialists in selected ADRCs. Now, why we know that selected was the dementia care specialists were a pilot, so they're only in. So we're assuming we would at least be able to keep our dementia care specialists, but we don't know what we'll look like. Again, there's been virtually no information from the state on this. We had our quality person from the Office of Resource and Quality Development yesterday at a staff meeting. She was very close-mouthed. Wouldn't really give us any information. Obviously, she'd been told not to give us any information. That was fairly clear. We do have a state meeting coming up March 4th. She thought there might be a little bit more forthcoming of information then. Several of the ADRC managers around the state are wanting to meet before that meeting, just to discuss it. But really, the language in the actual proposal is very, very vague. It talks about, you know, again, it just talks about the potential, that they would have the potential to contract with private entities. Doesn't really say what that is. It does refer back to a lot of statutes. No one has looked at that yet. So Mary Mesra today, and I probably started last night knowing Mary, was going to go back and read the budget language in the bills and refer back to those statutes and see if she could make sense of it. You know, the language in there is just incredibly, you have to keep referring back to the statutes to see what they might be referring to. So she was going to look at that, see if she could get a better handle on it.
Well, my question is as it continued, if to take away what you're doing, mm-hmm. is it going to be like our Secretary of Treasury and our Secretary of State, that pretty soon we will have no checks and balances there?
Yeah.
Everything's going to be ramrodded through?
It's concerning.
Yes, it's very concerning.
It's very. Now, if you look, there's more to it in terms of the long-term care aspect besides the ADRC. I obviously pointed that out first because that is us. But there are significant changes in family care as well, and one of them is to eliminate IRIS entirely.
And that's just crazy because that's become so successful.
Yeah, IRIS currently serves over 11,000, and actually we had IRIS people there at our meeting yesterday too, and they're, I think, very close to like serving 12,000 within the state.
But the IRIS is quite a bit more expensive.
Yeah.
Well,
look at the figures. There.
They would eliminate IRIS, but yet they would require family care to have a self-directed program within a component
within
the family
program?
Care. Mm-hmm.
And they're not going to save an awful lot.
So, and if you look at the family care changes, then they would be adding acute and chronic care services to the family care benefit, making it similar to a partnership model. They would require family care to be statewide by 2017.
You know, I think that's, as you look at mergers and consolidation, I think Mary's right. If you're not going to save much, I mean, when you get down to it, it's my way or don't join it.
Yeah.
Which is, should be drawing red flags for all of us.
And then the last one is the merging of the Division of Healthcare Access and Accountability and the Division of Long-Term Care into a new Division of Medicaid Services. And Carrie Mulkey, who is the head of the Bureau, did allude to this about some possible restructuring a while back, but wasn't, again, was it was a fairly vague kind of comment made. So we're really not too sure what this really means either. It's currently within the Division of Long-Term Care. What it talks about here is aging units in ADRCs serve not only low-income older adults and adults with disabilities, but we also provide long-term services to a number of people that are not low-income and that necessarily don't fall under Medicaid services. So, again, to place the ADRC administration under that is a little unclear as well. So mostly what we know is what we don't know a lot, that there are some things being proposed. The rationale, again, not too many people understand the rationale for it at this point. Everyone, I think, is trying to make sense of it.
Well, that last paragraph on there really states that this Janet really feels they need to kind of leave it the way it is. Right?
Yeah.
Is that what I...
Yeah, I mean, that's coming out of...
And this has been sent
network.
To Wisconsin state legislators.
Wasn't family care proposed by the state of Wisconsin? I mean, it was
proposed
yeah.
and pushed by the state
yeah.
of Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And then why take it away?
Here. Well, they're not really taking away family care. They're just changing...
But
Changing
emphasis
it.
And funding.
You
and
know, IRIS obviously is
privatizing.
Privatizing is going to basically they're going to use the same units of family care that we already have, and they use the counties to get them started.
And so we had five counties that went together and started the one we had. But now it has expanded to way up into the north and in the center and over to the east. It's no longer controlled by those five or six counties that started it. So it almost has to become a non-profit organization rather than a county-based organization because it's covering the whole state.
Is this continuous you're talking
about?
Yeah. And I was with Western Wisconsin here. We had eight counties in it.
Same thing.
And so we were like quasi-government and private both. And
right.
Worked together. But it seemed to work well. I mean, I had 35 years of doing programs with the elderly and disabled and whatever, and it's heads above any of the old programs we used to have. And it proved to be cost effective. And I haven't done anything with it for the last couple, 3 years, but I know at the time it really worked well.
It's very cost effective, but some of the areas were not cost effective. And so some of the other areas were asked to move into those areas to take over, such as continuous and these other ones. And so now that they've expanded far beyond the reach of the counties that they originally started them, they've got to change the law, because the law says when it started, it said that these counties are going to do this, and it's only for those people in those counties. Well, now they're serving some other people, so they have to change the statutes. And so now they're thinking about making them non-profit rather than county-run. I don't know.
So is it going to be good for the counties? Is it going to save the local counties money?
It really isn't going to affect the counties because the counties really don't have much to do with it anymore. We send one person up to sit on the board. It's so large now that the professionals are so far above most of the people that you send up on the board that, you know, it's kind of more of a thing of just explaining to our representative what they're doing.
So they have one board member from each county that sits on the board. So what is it now? Is it around 20 counties that they have? 18?
Continuous?
But it's still structured so that there's only the original eight counties.
Oh, really?
The other counties that were
they have no representation.
Really?
Do not have representation.
No.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Because the law won't allow them to.
No.
Oh.
That's why it needs to be changed.
And Dane County's still not in it.
No.
No.
They haven't had,
but this would make them.
Yeah, make all the other counties that aren't a part of it. So, do you sit on that board?
Not anymore.
No?
Larry, are you feeling this would be beneficial?
I think it has to come. I don't think there's any way you can get around it. The way it's developed, the way it started, the way it's going, and now they want to have four, maybe five organizations to cover the entire state. So you don't end up with the eight counties doing something here and another eight counties doing something different at a different cost up here. They want all services to be the same all over the state, the cost to be basically the same all over the state. And when you've got different areas, let's say you've got 16 different areas, those different areas are giving different services at different costs. So you get more uniformity. So they want to end up with about four organizations to offer the product statewide.
How do they offer different services when the state directed what services were provided?
They direct the services, but it's just like when we used to have social services do it, you know, and somebody comes in and they think they need a electric wheelchair.
Sure, yeah.
And they can get by with a regular wheelchair and probably help them get physically better. And so you get one thing that says, well, you go ahead and have the electric one, and another one says, no, thing is you have the regular wheelchair. And so
and it should be consistent.
They've got to be consistent, which they're not right now.
So this is another thing to watch?
Yes. Yes. Especially with adding the acute and chronic care services to it, it could change health providers for people, things like that. I mean, it's definitely something I think to pay attention to. And the IRIS, I mean, it affects a lot of people. As I get information, I'll send it out to you. There was a comment made yesterday about us being regional. There's always this big push that ADRC be seen as regional. And of course, we have the aging program, which is Grant County, and then we have ADRC, which is regional. And there was a kind of an offhand comment from Diana Adamski yesterday from ORCID, who is the Office Resource and Development person for us, that said, you know, you are regional, and that's a good thing. So I'm thinking in terms of the ADRCs, you know, we didn't get a MIPA grant, which doesn't really have anything to do with ADRC, but one of the justifications for all four counties, none of the counties got a MIPA grant because we didn't apply as a region. Well, we're not regional in the aging programs.
Weren't they going to reapply that?
Well, they...
It didn't go anywhere?
So...
I don't know.
It's a technical
MIPA
thing.
Is about, MIPA is about as more work than it's really worth for the amount of money that you get, but... there was just bigger things to fry at that time. But it's just now, in the sense of seeing that and seeing these comments, I think the push for regionalization is there. Now, again, the aging programs come out of, you know, federal monies and things like that. So he can't change boards on the aging side because they're federally mandated. So he may think he can. I don't know. It's not clear what...
There's a lot that gets questioned, but he forges ahead.
And it's not clear. I think it's not clear at the state level. There's been a lot of talk of integration at the state level between aging programs and ADRCs and how that's going to look, and they've been doing a lot of talk about that at the GWAR meetings that I go to, which is the aging side, and the ADRC Connect meetings I go to, which is the ADRC side, but they both fall under the Bureau. So I'm not entirely convinced that this isn't somewhat looked upon favorably by the state either. We're not necessarily seeing it as favorable, but I'm not sure that is in the minds of the state. So, Bob, have you heard anything at the different meetings that you've been at? I know you've been sitting in a lot of legislative stuff. So.
The only thing that I've really heard is that it sounds like family care is going away from DHS and going into insurance. It's like Gary Mann told me yesterday after the county board meeting, it's almost like we're going to be our own insurance company with services. And then that really makes me wonder if you're actually getting the care that you need. It's just a paper trail.
So I will keep you updated as I get more things. I will send them out to you as Janet sends me things as well. But at this point, I guess the timeline, I mean, he usually, that budget has to go to Joint Finance, right? That his budget proposal needs to go to Joint Finance.
Yeah,
it looks
they'll have it in March and April.
Hopefully they'll throw it up against the wall and a few things won't stick. I think the senior care is going to get, and it already has. I mean, as soon as the senior care came out, Mary Lou was jumping on that, as was our, but I mean, I think that's a very big concern. That's going to get a lot of attention. But the other stuff, the ADRCs, that was just kind of, you know, thrown in there. So it makes me a little more concerned that it might not get as much attention. And at this point, I don't know if it would be good, bad, or otherwise, because the language is so vague, we just don't know. So, my concern would be that we want to be able to offer local services to county residents. We don't want to have somebody having to travel another 75 miles to get services out of the ADRC. So,
I did talk to Trannell's and Senator Markline's office yesterday, and Markline is on Joint Finance, and he's hoping to get one of the public hearings in Fenimore.
Okay, great.
It may be Platteville, but he's hoping Fenimore.
We
also
hears on that.
As an aside, Betsy Abramson. I can't ever say her name. From the Wisconsin Healthy Institute, which is the people who train our Stepping On programs, our prevention programs, also sent out a memo to directors asking for an amendment. Asking us to ask legislators for an amendment to the budget that would still support the prevention programming funding. And I literally just got that like at 5 o'clock yesterday, so I don't even know. I didn't include it because I don't know. But there was some talk about meeting with Mark Line on that. So I have no idea how much money that involves or what that entails, so I couldn't speak on it. So, okay. Lots of things going on.
Volunteer banquet?
We have that scheduled for April 24th, so if you would like to attend, we will be getting out invitations on that. But just kind of as a heads up, I always do invite the board to attend, so if you're able to, that would be great.
Where is it at?
It will be at the UW Extension, the
Youth and
Ag building. Mm-hmm. Right. Yes.
Oh, is it?
All right. Do you have annual reports?
Yeah, I handed them out.
Oh, you already got them. Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you have one? I just want to. This is literally hot off the press, so don't look at the formatting of it. Annual reports are due, and I wanted to get this out earlier, but unfortunately, I was still waiting on some numbers. So I literally was pulling things off yesterday because some of our numbers had just come in. I just got ADRC's numbers yesterday from Danica. So I don't know whether the committees actually need to approve the annual report. It's something we have to do every year for the county. But I just wanted to give you a heads up of kind of what it would look like. And it probably needs a little bit of formatting and maybe a spell check because I literally didn't have time to do that. I was working on it last night yet, trying to at least get something in place. So tried to condense it a little bit. It's still kind of long, I think, but Bob, do you know if it needs committee approval? I wasn't sure. Do most committees approve? Or
I would say most committees review it, but I don't know that they really approve it.
Okay. Oh, I see my one change didn't get changed. So I have something under arthritis toolkits. That is one kit that's been checked out. It should be 2014 and not 2013.
Oh.
I made the change. I must not have saved it. So, just under the prevention programs. It's highlighted, so. It's highlighted so I wouldn't miss it. And then I missed it. So I will be going back through this and formatting it a little bit and getting it to look a little nicer, but.
Yeah, you still have to take Carol Hughes' name off, too.
Yeah, well, Carol I left on because she was staff in 2014, but I will be taking it off. Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
It's all right. It's kind of a nice meditation song you can just reflect on. Take a break from all the budget reports. So any questions on this?
I know there is.
And if you, I mean, you can just kind of take a look, and if you have questions on it, you can give me a call, too. And this gets published, and then where does it go after I give it to Linda? And I know I get a little binder, but does it get sent out to
all the county board members? Get it, and I don't know if she distributes any other copies.
I didn't know if legislators got it. I didn't actually know where it went to after that.
Do you feel that these changes are they targeting like the ADRC or the aging? I mean, I just sometimes feel like our elderly are getting thrown out of the bus.
Mm-hmm. Like maybe they just disappear, won't cost the money.
it does sound like it, but I don't think he's targeting anybody. I think he's
targeting everybody.
Everybody.
I was going to say, yeah, basically.
He's just trying to create interest. That's what I think it is.
Create what?
Interest. Just get people thinking. Like I told Jan earlier, it's more about the national political market. than it is in the state of Wisconsin.
But in the process, I mean, I've just been watching this one with the DNR that just scares me to death.
Yeah.
Meaning, and now we want to make our state parks self-sufficient? Mm-hmm. I tried. Other places it hasn't worked. But anyway, as we're here about seniors, I worry these people just, I mean, if it weren't for things like your organization here, they don't have a voice.
I think, but in terms of everything, I think seniors probably do have some of the strongest networks. AARP is very good at voicing things. So in terms of coming from the other side where I work with low-income children and families, I think the seniors have a much bigger voice than the low-income. Yeah,
Because of groups like this.
I honestly don't know. Wisconsin has been kind of lauded over for the ADRCs, and that was they were very innovative with those and received a fair amount of attention with that. So the playing with it, I don't know. I'm not sure where that's coming from. But I do think there's some intent at the state level that we don't know about with the restructuring, and maybe that's where it's coming from. They certainly were pushing the integration before Christmas, which obviously concerns the aging side, which is run by, you know, the GWAR gets the aging network funding and then distributes it out to the area agencies on aging, which is us too. So there's been a big push for integration there. So I don't know if that has to do with the things either. I don't know. You know, they've been talking regionalization forever on all of these things. So I don't know if this is a thing or if you're right, if it's just throwing stuff out there and getting some attention.
To draw attention away from some of the bigger things. I mean, transportation is one of the big things, and with all these other little items out there, people have kind of forgot about transportation.
Yeah. At 1,800 plus pages, it's kind of hard, kind of wordy to get through or find anything in it. So. And the summary was like, what, 600? I think it was pretty long, too, when I was trying to find ADRCs in there. I was doing a lot of scrolling. I have been, you know, trying to be transparent with staff because I do think it does cause some morale issues sometimes when staff get concerned about, you know, if they're going to have a job or not. And at this point, none of that is certainly... I'm not concerned about it at this point. But I do think we need to be vocal in preserving what we do and what we do well.
Okay. All right, the GWAR budget?
Just to let you know, we did get the GWAR allocations. Last year's allocations totaled $303,111. This year's are $302,000. $65. So, for the most part, they're very close. We just went down like $1,000, $1,500. I can't do my math right now very well, so it's been a long morning.
It don't get any better.
So anyway, I just wanted to let you know. If you want to see the figures, I can pass it around. But
so it's pretty comparable.
It's pretty comparable to last year, so, which is a good thing.
So where do you see there's going to be a little shift here?
Well, we've got...
It's less than that.
The shift came mostly in some meals. We've got some donation money for that, so I think we'll be okay. So I'm not entirely worried about that.
Operations is gonna make it.
I hope so.
Anybody have any questions? It really turns out to be less than 1,000.
Yeah, I don't even know what I
give me those figures out.
I had figures on there and then I erased them, so I was gonna.
What if I did,
it wasn't enough for me to get panicky about, so that was the main thing. got another
1,046.
I thought it was just a little over 1,000.
Yeah.
Okay.
April meeting.
April meeting is scheduled the same time as the ADRC state conference. I have not attended an ADRC state conference because they meet every other year, and I was hired after the last one. So given the climate and everything going on right now with ADRCs, I would very much like to attend it. And I don't know, has board members attended that in the past? Do you know? I know you guys attend the aging one, so I'm assuming that you're also invited to attend the ADRC one.
I don't know. I think the one I went to was the GWAR one.
You went to the GWAR.
I went to the
GWAR. Which is the aging site.
Yeah, I went to the GWAR one.
So the ADRC one is in La Crosse.
In the fall.
And it is the Wednesday, Thursday, and I think a half a day on Friday.
15, 16, 17.
Yes.
Of
when? Of April.
So, I don't know how you feel. I think we'll be okay in terms of agenda items because I looked back and we don't have a lot in April if you wanted to cancel, or I don't know what the protocol is if you want to change the date of a meeting.
Just has to be announced, doesn't it?
Yeah, you need to somewhat mutually agree to it.
Somewhat mutually agree?
Well, I mean, it gets to be conflict.
Yeah.
Everybody's got their set date. And
mm-hmm. Unless you all want to go to the board meeting or the conference, and then we could meet in La Crosse.
Yeah.
Do you have much on the board agenda?
I looked back. In fact, I think, actually, I'm not even sure last April we had a meeting.
You didn't.
We don't have anybody. We have to replace any employees or anything?
No.
I don't see having a meeting unless you've really got something.
Right. And I don't think, you know, other than terms of if there's anything coming out, age of, you know, advocacy-wise, and I can mail that out to you. So are you okay with canceling it? Unless something obviously does come up, in which case I will have it, and then we'll just... I mean, the other thing is I can always, if something is pressing, I can have it in the morning and head up to La Crosse that afternoon, too. I'll just miss the morning of it. But I agree. If there's not anything real pressing, there probably isn't.
Well, it might be good to find out if any of the board members could actually attend it.
And I will. I will ask that.
Because La Crosse is relatively close.
I'm assuming that you can. I'm assuming there would be a track for
that.
You
might want to check on that.
Yeah, I just better check on
it
because ADRC is different than
it is. It is.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah, check and let us.
Yeah. So
what
if...
are there for the, in La Crosse? What are your dates?
15th, 16th, and 17th. Is anyone interested if there is a track?
I would be.
Okay.
I might be.
I'd be interested.
Date, you might be. And Shirley, you might be?
Yeah.
Okay. And you guys could probably, you two could ask at the regional board meeting next week, too, because Mary would know the answer to that better than I.
Okay.
She's been around more. She would know what the tracks are. Because there is not anything out on the conference right now, so I can't see what the workshops look like or what the track is. So.
Where's that meeting at next week?
Darlington. It's usually Darlington. Yeah.
Back at 9:30 again.
I believe I haven't got the folder yet.
Well, mine won't come because it's going to Florida. So.
You better get down there so you can get there.
Run down, get your packet, drive back up.
Bob won't let me put my dang mileage down.
Well, it just says the 26th. It doesn't have the time. It was on our last flyer.
I would assume it's the same time. It's usually the same
time.
I think it just got changed before because it was in... Was it in Greentown last time?
No,
it was in Darlington.
Oh, was it?
Oh.
Okay, approval of vouchers. I mean, anybody else before we leave that interested in attending if possible?
And just let me know if you are and I'll... Like I said, we can find out next week. I'll talk to Mary.
Approval of vouchers.
I don't think there's anything out of the ordinary in vouchers. Except for a big mileage check from Larry, no.
Wait till that one comes
in. say we hold our next meeting where it's closer for Larry. He doesn't have all that money.
There you go. We can do that.
Y'all want to reach them all in Florida. All meeting.
Any, if none, I can entertain a motion to accept the vouchers that is running.
I so move.
Shirley makes the motion. Do I have a second?
Sure.
Seconds?
Sure.
Any further discussion? And you're saying nothing out of the ordinary, huh?
No, not vouchers. No.
All those in favor say aye.
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 No, say no. Motion carried. Financial report.
All right. Did you pass out the other one, too? Okay. I did have Crystal give you a 2014 one, too. So you'll have one up in the corner that says fiscal year 2015, which maybe you can look at first because that one's fairly easy to look at. And then there's one for fiscal year 2014, which is not complete by any means. We've still got some things out on that. I made a mess of mine, so I can't even.
14. Everybody finding it?
There's my 14.
I just got the 14.
I think it's 14, but I don't see.
Your 2015 is probably in your packet right here.
Oh, okay.
There it is.
All right.
You got it.
I got it.
So 2015, again, is pretty standard. Nancy's been over here a lot, as I keep saying. She's still here. I think she's probably going to start thinking she's staff here pretty soon. We gave her her own coffee cup. And
well, then you know you're in.
Yeah. She's been spending a lot of time helping us get processes in order, and a budgeting process in order for me. And it's really, I think, going to take until next year before we get this all set. Because we kind of budgeted based on things from last year that were maybe not as they appeared. So I'm trying to have her work with me on that, so that by next year we should be really good starting the budget process this year and knowing what our expenses are. Things got expensed out differently in past years that didn't really go with how I would have done that or Nancy would have done that. So it's made it a little bit difficult to know what the true expenditures are for some programs, which you'll see in 2014 when you look at that. So, but we'll stick with 2015 for right now.
On the office supplies, budget 500, but then the monthly and year-to-date is 2,550.
Where are you at on that one? Are you in 2015?
2000. I guess that's 2014. I guess it's right here on the bottom of this first one.
On the 2014 one. Can we just do 2015
sure.
first, and then I'll go to
yeah.
2014 and answer any questions? Because otherwise,
yep.
I'm going to get confused. Yeah. How come that isn't service management? Most of that should have been.
Because we split it half and half.
For
half service management, cross supplies was always half service management, half ADSC.
Yeah, maybe we need to look at that. So some of that might have been maybe charged back up to ADSC. Any questions on the 2015?
So, like with that trust with the meals type thing, you haven't really had to use it yet.
Yeah, we actually have. Well, in 2015, we haven't yet, but
okay.
That's in my director's report too. We've
okay.
had some communication with them, so that's a whole other ballgame there.
Yeah,
I got a lot of ballgames. It's been, and they've all played this week, so it's been quite a week, and it's only Wednesday.
on the financial report but January 15th, right?
Yes.
Hearing nothing, somebody want to make a motion to accept those as printed?
Motion to accept that 2015.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, same sign.
And the 2014 one is mostly just for your information right now, because I'm working with Nancy. We still have state revenue that's out. We still have billing that's out. I think most of the expenses are all in, I believe, for the most part, but we've still got some of our money that's not in here, I believe. Mm-hmm. Transportation money, I think, is still out. Billing, we had some numerous issues with billing. So this budget is definitely been a interesting year for me, but Nancy's, again, we're kind of making some changes. So some of the things that you're going to see in here are going to look out, but right now we're about 24,000 over if we use the carryover. However, I think we're going to come out pretty close to even with that. However, you'll see within certain areas that different things are going to be. Meals are, nutrition is actually going to be underspent probably a little bit. Bus will be out, but we've still got some transportation money coming in. She's been doing some adjustments that will help too with GWAR. So our benefit specialist, where we've normally had different numbers, she's gotten that worked out with GWAR because they get a lot of match and Medicaid reimbursement back. So we've had to re-kind of do that. And actually, Crystal is more knowledgeable about that than I am. She's learning all that. Specialized transport is looking very good. Our transportation program is one that I'll have my eyes on this year for the most part, trying to get that worked out and figuring out the funding and making sure that that comes in right. Our trips program got very overspent last year, mostly because we really lost a lot of drivers. We had drivers that were... that retired, that got ill, that went south. We just had a number of things. So we still have a fair amount of billing, I'm hoping, for trips that is still out. So we'll be working on that. Family caregivers looks like it's overspent. However, what's happened in the past is things got shifted to other programs, and that isn't how I expense things out. I expense things out. We have a family caregiver person who does family caregiver duties every week, so all of those funds need to show that. So again, that's where Nancy's going to work with me a little bit on making sure that going into this next budget year that those budgeted amounts, expenses, are correct. Because in the past, when we ran out of money, we stopped expensing it out to that account. And that isn't how I would do it, and that's not how Nancy would do it. So we're changing some of that.
You just took it from another account?
Well, what we have to realize is all of these expenses are a blend of federal, state, and local funding. So the common funding, they're all, for the most part, they're all a blend of that. So where we've saved money in nutrition, it'll go... It got expensed out before in nutrition. Now it's expensed out in the correct category, so...
All right, anybody have any questions?
It's given me a lot of...
We can just look at it, huh? We have to approve that
I don't think this really needs to be approved yet. I will, once she has gotten the rest of the revenue in, I will give you an updated one.
Some of those minuses may disappear?
Yeah, and there will be some audit adjustments as well that we're going to make as well. So we've got the potential. We had some... pretty high bus repairs and taxi repairs that we can adjust if we need to, because we do have a vehicle trust fund as well. We also have a nutrition trust fund if we need to make some adjustments as well. So,
okay, so you get back to us.
She's calmed me down a little bit in the last month or two, so I'm having kind of some issues.
Yeah, you're in the right pigeonhole.
Well, it's just... it's different ways of looking at things. That's the best way I can put it, and I have different philosophies than have been used in the past. So moving forward, at least I'll know what page I'm on. So, and Nancy and I will both have a better idea. We're trying to get the billing system so that billing is done and expensed on a regular basis so that we can forecast how much money's coming in, because I can't tell that very well. We've already done some, she's made some changes within the nutrition programs and getting those receipts in from the bank so that we have a better job of forecasting the program income that's coming in there, because that was being done quarterly and very hard to then track. So, you guys have been working on a lot. You've been making a lot of changes. So I think coming into this year when I start the budget, it's going to be an easier process in terms of, I think it'll look different in terms of how things are expensed. But I think we'll be all right.
Okay, reports.
All right. Speaking of nutrition, I got an email from Doreen Hahn, who is the chief officer for the Epstein Foundation, stating that she's got a board of trustees meeting. She wanted to know how much we had left, and I said, well, we didn't have the final numbers yet, but I would get those to her. We talked a little bit. That was fine. Then she sent me an email back and said, I'm sorry, but in reviewing my notes, the Board of Trustees would like the money spent out this year. And we've probably got about $80,000 in there. So that has so much for the direction that she wanted us headed in. Apparently the Board of Trustees had a different direction. And her main point of that was that the Ecksteins like to get the thank you letters. So?
my question is if we spend out the $80,000, is there going to be more coming?
I don't know.
Is that
I
a
will
thing to
ask.
Say,
that that was the whole part of the market research, was to determine what we needed so we could ask for more money. So I will still do that. But yeah, that has me concerned. And I think Doreen is she's a wonderful person. She's been very, very good. She knows the situation here. She told me, you know, she said she understands the situation and what happened. But unfortunately, they're not getting thank you letters, so they want some thank you letters. So I actually already had a plan to use the donation part of it for some big local events in March, because March is Nutrition Month and March is kind of Meals on Wheels Month. So we thought we could do a big splash with and offer some. Well, we're doing a bigger splash now because we're going to, like, offer.
Y'all come.
So her email said, we would like you to use it towards participant donations. So they don't want to fund the entire meal. They want to fund the participant donation part of it, the $350. So I haven't done the math yet because I just got that. It's been a busy week, but I was trying in my head thinking, okay, about $77,000 divided by $350 is how many meals. So we will be doing a little marketing campaign starting for March. I'll be getting it ready for next week to at least be offering free meals for a while to participants. It is what it is, I guess. I'm a little disappointed because I think we were making some progress and there's things we really wanted to do that to me would have more impact for the future, but
I just wonder if there's a reason to expend it all and get rid of it.
You know, I wasn't here when the money was donated, so I never was privy to that conversation as to, I don't know. There was no, that I could see, grant application process when the money was requested. It seems to me it was a... So
none
I don't know.
None of these things last forever.
Yeah.
They just don't.
So I was kind of like, oh.
I thought in the past they didn't want to pay for meals. They wanted to
exactly.
do future growth.
Exactly. They wanted to reach out and right expand the project to seniors who weren't getting it. Well, somewhere between there and here it changed. So to say I was caught a little off guard was is an understatement.
What are they asking for? Are they asking for us to notify the seniors that this is being paid for by them so that those seniors will send them a thank you letter? Is that what they're really asking for?
That is just about what my email
That's
says.
That's what I'm kind of thinking, too. Mm-hmm.
Yes, that is pretty much what my email says.
But you're still continuing with the where we at?
We are. We are. And I'm still going to charge that off to the foundation because that's where that market research came from.
They don't care. They don't understand.
No, they wouldn't understand it anyway. Yeah.
It's, yeah. So one of the things, and I had just sent her, some things because as we're doing this market study and we're still looking at some things, and that's in my things too. You know, one of the things that came out is we're still trying to figure out the home delivered piece getting out to the whole county. And so one of the things that was coming out with that was potentially hiring a very limited term volunteer person to work solely with home delivered people when they needed it that were outside of our delivery routes so that we could maybe say if Lester calls in and he's in wherever, rural Keeler or somewhere, where it's not on a route, we could have a volunteer person actually work with that person to identify maybe some potential community supports that could get those meals to them. So, you know, do you belong to a church? Do you belong to, is there a community group? Or we could look at where they live, find out maybe what's available in terms of accessing a volunteer for them and making that connection so to get meals out. Because right now it's very difficult. You know, Grant County is a big county. We can't send home-delivered people out in every direction, volunteers. It's just, but if we could make, because we never know where the routes are going to be from month to month or year to year when people need it. But if you had somebody who could say, okay, I'm going to work with you, you know, maybe there's a Lions Club here, so maybe we can identify some people through there. It wouldn't cost a lot, I don't think. So those were some of the things that we had come up with. But of course, now...
They dropped that wrench in the gearbox, didn't they?
Yeah.
Lori?
It has to be done in March.
No, it has to be done by the end of the year. The funding needs to be spent by
the
end of
the year. Did you personally send thank you letters to them?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Did you?
Yes.
Because I know that Gail always did.
Yes.
And had
no.
me send one, too.
Yep.
But I'm just amazed.
And we sent one in here.
More than that?
We
did one in here. We sent one from
the board. And the meal sites did them, too, because
yeah.
they signed.
The meal sites did it in the past, but...
Maybe it's just a little bit.
Yeah,
we need to know where their money's going.
Well, unfortunately, you know, what they're going to end up doing is they're paying for current participants. And maybe we'll get some new participants to come. My fear, this occurred to me last night too, my fear is if we start offering free meals for a few months, what's going to happen when those free meals stop?
Right.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My participant contributions, I think, are going to take a dive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that
and, and that's just the opposite of what you were trying to do.
Right.
Is you were trying to build sustainability.
Yeah.
Exactly.
What would happen if you don't pay the whole meal, if you just pay a portion?
They're asking that it, I mean, it's specifically said to pay the $3.50 contribution.
Oh,
you couldn't get, like, buy one, get one free.
Or if you rotated it throughout your meal sites, like, each week you paid for Cuba City.
The thing is it won't spend out.
No,
what's going to be left, either we have to buy an awful lot of equipment with it or they're going to ask for it back.
Yeah.
Mm. They're going to ask for it back?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't spend it.
That's what makes me wonder, is this coming to an end?
Yeah, this could be just be the beginning of
and
more
just being
down
able
road.
To race this slate clean.
Yeah, it certainly was in a much different direction than the, you know, the last conversations I've had with Doreen, because I've been keeping in contact with her pretty much on a quarterly basis. And
how much money have you got from him through the years?
I don't even know.
We used to get $25,000, and then we went to $50,000, and the last one, I think they gave us $100,000.
Is that going to
and what was happening was that the hunt, well, actually, quite frankly, I went back and charged it out. The 100 hadn't even been charged out to the trust at first, or the community meals, but they were being used for the community meals. But the community meals were generating, like, you know, some community leaders might come to a community meal. It did not increase the participation at the congregate site. It was just simply looked at as a free community meal, so community people came. Yeah, I don't think they realized that the intent of this, I'm concerned what this could do to the program, but at the same point, kind of between a rock and
hard
place.
You still need to keep moving forward with your analysis and try to build sustainability.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, you put a sign up as compliments of the meal for that particular day.
Well, it's clear I have to have some thank you notes on the tables, too.
Yes, evidently.
With postage.
Or you and I are going to be writing a lot.
Big letters.
It literally was spelled out that way. I kid you not, it was kind of like
the money spent.
How old are the X-Types?
They're close to their
90s, I think.
They're close to 90s, 88.
So those personal handwritten, you know, you see somebody in their 90, that's what they appreciate.
Yeah.
Is, you know, if your grandchildren don't send you a thank you, they don't get presents anymore, you know?
But if you look at between probably 5,800 and 66,000 meals a month is what we do between home delivered and congregate.
So you're going to have the thank you note with it, get a signature on it.
Okay. Every month, apparently. I mean,
do a letter writing.
Grab them in a big envelope
and shuffle.
And don't some of the meal site participants, they put a check in at the beginning of the month because they know they go every day, and then how do you give them a free meal? They've already paid for it.
Well, I'll have to ask Nancy about that. here's your refund, kind of like a property tax credit. We'll give them a nutrition credit.
Buy one, get one free deal.
Simply stunned me a little bit today. So, and it's going to take a few months. I mean, it's not like. Like I said, if I offered free meals the month of March, which, like I said, I was kind of going to do a splash with that. That was kind of our intent, was to get, because of Nutrition Month, get some big marketing out there. I didn't realize it was going to be quite that big, though. I was going to offer, like, free, you know.
Free dessert.
For a week. Yeah, free dessert.
I wish we had our other program ready to go, though, so we could spend our marketing on that rather than on the old program.
Yeah. The problem is the state hasn't, you know, we're still dragging our feet at the state level in terms of, like we can do a restaurant option. They've not approved a voucher option yet.
Oh, great.
So
I was going to ask you where that
we're
was
asking
at.
We're asking for that. Because in some of these areas, like, Potosi's an area we identified. I mean, the Potosi site gets no one. It's not a good site. We need to be able to either offer a restaurant, but we don't have a meal site manager that we're paying for there either. But if you had a voucher option there, where they could go, same with some of the other areas. If we had that, but I talked to Sarah again, and they have not approved that yet. So, along with that, we've got the state revitalization in terms of all this. I've just completed Monday. The feds are also doing a huge evaluation of the elder need. Nutrition program, and lucky us, we were selected to participate in the Mathematica survey. Having had experience in Mathematica from Head Start, I knew I wasn't going to look forward to the survey because I've done their surveys before. And that was every time I thought I was done with the survey, 2 days later I got another another piece of the survey to complete. I believe Juneau County and Grant, and I don't know if there were any other ones statewide that were asked to participate, but we were both selected, and it wasn't like you could opt out, because I would have. It just didn't come at a good time. And they're looking at all sorts of programmatic data and all sorts of financial data. And so they're doing a national evaluation, too, and trying to make some recommendations. But, yeah, they need, I need some of that to move forward a little faster than it is. So.
Well, what Monroe has that breakfast deal.
Mm-hmm.
Is and there see, anything we could do?
See, there's a couple places that are allowed to do the vouchers right now because right now they're piloting all of that as projects. But the standards as a whole don't allow for that. The state is allowing a few people to do these pilots. So, yeah, I've been in contact with Sarah about those because I really feel like that's what we need to be doing. So, so now that the pilots are going, hopefully they can formulate some data from that and maybe make those recommendations for the future.
See,
but
even if you were to get breakfasts, you'd have to go back to the people preparing the meals, and that's a whole other
ball.
And Greene County's, in all effect, hasn't gone quite as well as they would have liked it to, so
right?
It hasn't been quite as...
They had a lot of the stars in this
county. So anyway, that is where we're sitting with the Eckstein Foundation. But once I get that market study, I think it's not going to hurt to go back to them and say, okay, we've done your study that you asked us to do. Here's what came out of it, and here's what we think we could use from your foundation. I mean, all they can say is no. At this point, I have no pride. I'll ask. So if we can identify,
I mean,
some
are they
stuff.
Feeling that the study might be taking too long or something?
That could be part of it. I mean, obviously, when I came on board in June, you know, none of that money had been spent out. I went back and charged out the community meals to it because nothing had been charged to it. But it was, there was over 100,000 sitting in there. Plus, they'd had money from before, the 20,000. So.
Yeah, and if somebody's getting that money and you aren't using it, it makes you think twice.
Yeah.
You don't need it.
Yeah. But I really think the thank you letters.
The thank you letters. They didn't say that, though.
Mm-hmm. No, they
did. They did say
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah, it was, yeah.
We can set up an assembly.
It's
line.
Not generating.
Assembly
they
line.
Would like something that generates thank you letters.
Line item.
So watch your papers because Eckstein's are going to be splashed all over it in the next few weeks as far as Greene County is concerned.
Well, I know that, you know, they're both failing in health and they both have basically 24-hour care.
Really?
One for her and one for him.
Well,
They weren't back very much.
You know, and I felt terrible. I just feel terrible because I thought, you know, Doreen and I had quite a few conversations, and I thought we were traveling in the direction that, and I think we were as far as she was concerned, but somewhere between the last board meeting that they had and now, some other things were.
Now,
the
do
lack
they
of
have
thank you
children? I don't know anything about.
Doreen, I believe, is one of their.
She's one of their
okay.
children.
She's one of their
she
children.
Be, she
okay.
isn't one of their children. They had six
I think
or
she
seven.
Is.
I don't remember the name.
Oh, well, maybe
Jim,
not.
Joe,
originally, I talked to
she
one.
She could
of
have
them.
Married one of the boys.
I, well, she's a Han.
Randy. Oh.
I'd have to go back. Originally, I talked to one of the daughters.
Cindy.
And then since that time, I've been in contact with Doreen.
I don't remember
so.
Doreen. I don't remember Doreen.
Okay.
So I'm just wondering, like, if they pass away, if they're so elderly and in frail health, if they pass away, does the foundation cease to exist? Does it get dispersed to the children?
I don't know. It depends on how that's all set up, I guess.
Yeah. So, basically, they spelled it out. I don't know that we can take any other direction than that. And I guess the chips will fall where they may when we...
So you have plans, though?
Well,
or you're formulating them?
My plans are to offer free meals, because that's what it's basically... Mm-hmm.
And thank you cards.
And thank you cards.
Are you covering our... You got to make sure we got enough money to cover our study.
Yes. Yeah.
We don't want to spend it. Free meals and end up owing for the
exactly.
study too.
Yeah, and they actually, I think, I did talk with Linda about that and said, you know, literally I had a call with Linda Davis, the consultant, the day I got the email. So I said, I'm not sure exactly where we're going with the study at this point. So I said, no, I'll get back to you on that as well.
And when is she looking to give us something?
She's getting pretty close. So we've got another phone call coming up. So I may just stop her at some point. But I think Doreen is okay with us charging that out, though. I don't think that's an issue. So anyway, I had thought about going back and charging out program income. We had talked about charging out what we had budgeted for program income and what we received and charging that out to the Eckstein Foundation, which Doreen had agreed to for 2014, but I don't know. I'll have to have a conversation with Nancy on that to spend some more of that money out, but now I'm kind of hesitant to do that given this situation, so... I'm much more concerned about what will happen after this period of time where we give out all these free meals. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, your participants will be happy.
Yeah.
Until the money runs out.
Until it runs out. Yeah.
Wind up with
the
disaster case.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Okay. Onward here.
I'm going to take the thank you notes out of the budget too.
You better buy a double box. You better buy
it. Case of thank you notes will have to come out of there at some point too. Well, it just about made me.
Such a reversal.
But
which became a rock and hard place.
It kind of did. Yeah. So. So those are the highlights of my week and month. And
so let me ask you, Laurie, do you still like your job?
I liked it a lot better a few months ago than I do right now.
So do we have program reports, or that's all in?
Program reports are in your packet, I believe.
Yep.
You've got everything but caregiver, and I apologize for that. You don't have caregiver because I couldn't get on SAMS. Harry, I'm still doing the SAMS, which is our state database. And I've been a little busy to get that caregiver stuff in there, so that's why we don't have it. Our caregiver is going very well right now, but once Carrie gets out, we'll get Mariah trained in SAMS. But Carrie hasn't been able to come out, and I'm getting it piled up. I think I got everything entered now, but I didn't have time to report it out.
Did you come out on that class? Did they allow you to put that stuff into your report? Or has that not been answered?
That has. Betsy is going to send us back the demographic stuff.
That's what I thought.
So we're still waiting
something,
on that.
Okay.
So
because mm-hmm. not until I send the last.
Right.
Next week is the last class. And then I'll send your stuff in.
Right. So, Yeah, it's been busy.
Anything else to come before us? Any other comments?
We're going to have an awful lot of length of time before you guys got to go eat.
Well,
what
we'll just check out the facility.
What time
did
they serve?
11?
Noon.
It's noon, but I will double check.
Okay, it says double check for mine. Us. You may have to have a. We may start thinking. We have extra thinking.
Seriously, I can bring you all thank you notes right now.
Right, thank you.
Maybe we can beg.
Are we short?
Yeah,
we've got probably more of those if somebody needs them.
Okay. Are we short for it? Hey, I loved on Facebook.
What?
You must have gone to. Who did you go see, Mac?
Fleetwood Mac.
Fleetwood Mac. Was it good?
Yes.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Mary Lou, did you motion to adjourn?
Not yet.
Okay.
I'm waiting for
it. Okay, that's fine. I didn't know if I wasn't paying attention.
What's that?
I wasn't sure if I just wasn't paying attention and he said it.
She said she was
just passed around.
Let's see we again. I guess we'll put that in the Anybody want to make a motion to adjourn? I was going to wait until she came back.
I'll second it. To the 18th of March.
The what?
18th of March.
18th of March?
Oh, I didn't.
Is that our next meeting?
Yeah.
The third Wednesday of the month.
18th of March? That's right, I won't be
here. I thought we were going to have one in April.
April.
April, we're not having
I won't be here.